Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much. Hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you for that. We really appreciate that. Rich Gaydon is our guest. He's our good friend, the publisher, the editor, the janitor, the accountant, and the brilliant mind behind the thrice-weekly cyber column, Mullings. Mullings.com is a location where you subscribe to that. He is a political operative, political hack sometimes he calls himself, but he is also of the Republican persuasion, and he's our good friend, Rich. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Happy New Year.
Have you back. Happy New Year to you, sir. Okay.
The best thing about New Year, before we get started, is you get to start QuickBooks again and straighten out all the mistakes you made all last year. I was doing that literally on New Year's morning. I said, "Boy, this is great! I can fix everything and just start again."
I'm so glad you got that off your chest, Rich. Do you feel better now?
I do. I really did. It was a high point of my day.
When did I lose control here? Rich, I've asked you to join us today for a couple of reasons. The main reason that when I invited you to join us was to talk about the Abramoff issue and how that cancer is going to metastasize throughout the Beltway and Congress, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to get to that in a minute because something else has happened. Rich Folks is an expert in many things, and one of them is he's a pretty darn good Middle East expert. And you spent a lot of time, I think you were actually based in Israel once, if I'm not mistaken.
Just started a business there, yeah.
Yeah, and so we've got the Prime Minister of Israel, and I knew a little bit about Ariel Sharon. He's, by the way, folks, I'm sure you know he's had a massive stroke, the second one, but this one is apparently maybe mortal. Rich, I was listening yesterday to somebody sort of encapsulating, sort of putting into about a one-minute little soliloquy the importance of Ariel Sharon to Israel, not only to Israel's history, but to Israel today. And I'd forgotten some of the things that this person talked about, and it spun my head around when I thought about the importance of this one human being, not only, as I say, not only in history, but where Israel is today. And I want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, he's really he really will go down as a giant. As you and I are having this conversation, he is still reported to be alive. But as you say, this is a massive stroke, and the prognosis is certainly not good. But this is a guy who first of all was a war hero in several wars. Number one, which in Israel is no small deal because you know it's a country that's about 15 inches wide.
Right.
But he was also well known as a right-wing hardliner for decades, and refusing to give anything back to the Palestinians in return for Palestinian terrorism.
He basically established the controversial settlements, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly right. And he really felt that the Palestinians had lost the right to claim a separate country by the fact that they simply were acting like cavemen, and they just weren't, they shouldn't be rewarded for that. Well, it came to pass that as he got older and is in some versions of the truth wiser, he decided that this could not sustain, that the Stockholm agreements had led down a path that went nowhere, and the best thing to do would be to negotiate directly with the Palestinian Authority. And he was helped, by the way, by the fact that that Arafat died, because he was mired in the past. But anyway, so he decided that they would negotiate for a Palestinian state, and whether or not it's going to work in the future, nobody can tell. But the Infatah has certainly calmed down a great deal, moved the settlements out, and his right wing was so angry with him that they in essence threw him out of his own party, and he formed another party.
Yeah, the party, but it was a party he basically founded.
They did found, yeah, exactly. Yeah. He invented a centrist party, and that's the ruling party now. And it's instructive in terms of American politics to understand that there's a reason that our two-party system leads to such stability, which in our case has worked pretty well. In Israel, there's about 137 different parties, and at any given moment, a party with two guys hold the reins of power. If they switch sides, like Jeffords switching sides in the Senate that time,
right.
The whole Senate switched. And
Jeffin,
that's what Sharon has been
Jeffords,
with.
We call him. Hey, Rich, hold on. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to ask Rich why you and I should care about what happens to Mr. Sharon. Stay with us.
When this old world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And don't forget to subscribe to Rich Galen's newsletter, his e-zine. His cyber column, I guess, he has a little highfalutin title for his as a cyber column, but comes thrice weekly. You'll like it if you're a Republican. You'll like it if you're a Democrat. You want to know what he's up to, and so and it's free, isn't it? Isn't it, Rich?
Yes, darn it.
Basically, no. Well, at least you don't have any billing problems, Rich. back to Sharon, and by the way, when I say what do we care? Why should Americans care? Obviously, we care about another human life, and so I don't want to minimize that. And I hate the man's lying on his deathbed, Rich. I hate to sound like we're already doing his eulogy, but the thing is that he is so important because of where he was and where he came to, the point where he was. It took somebody who was such a conservative to become such a peacemaker to get people's attention. And what this person was saying yesterday, Rich, was that there really isn't he doesn't have a peer for 2006, for the first part of the 21st century. He doesn't really have a peer in Israel. What do you think?
No, I think that's right. The there were elections which now will be canceled for March, because of the switch in party structure and what have you, as we were talking about earlier. And I think the general theory was that there'd be a huge scramble for it's a parliamentary election, but that Sharon would have enough seats and enough allies to be able to form the government again. But without him there, then the next biggest guy is Benjamin Netanyahu,
right.
Who is the darling of the American right here, and it likely will be the next prime minister whenever that election is held. The biggest issue for America is we really need stability in that region. We got a lot on our plate, and. And if one of the neighbors of Israel miscalculates and decides that they're weakened,
right.
And they're ripe for an attack, Israel will attack. As I mean, we know how to do that here. I mean, we saw how ferocious we were after we were attacked, and we got a lot of land and a lot of stuff. The Israelis will ferociously attack, and then you always run the risk in those sorts of things for one of those things being the equivalent of the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand. People
right.
start choosing up sides, and the thing
right.
just spins out of control. So things this is pretty dicey, and I suspect that Condoleezza Rice, Dr. Rice, who's the U.S. Secretary of State, is probably working the phones pretty hard to her ambassadors throughout that region to make sure that everybody, you know, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Iran is a different issue altogether. I mean,
yeah, but it's still a dangerous neighbor.
Oh, very dangerous. And but to make sure that nobody miscalculates and thinks that Israel is on its knees and ready for unable to defend itself, because we will defend Israel.
Well,
and,
the things that Rich is saying, folks, and the reason I wanted to talk about this for a little bit is because you might just think, big deal. Well, it's Sharon's incapacitation and likely death is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Is a big deal to world politics, and we need to pay attention to it. Let's talk about, I'd like to move on, because I know there's other things we could mention about this, but we'll do that another day. Let's talk about the Abramoff scandal.
Huh?
And Abramoff is the Uber lobbyist. He's pled guilty now in multiple locations. Apparently he's going to be doing time, but he's also turned state's witness, and he seems to have implicated a number of people inside the Beltway.
That is all correct. And the big issue with the Abramoff scandal isn't the legal issue as it attaches directly to Abramoff. I mean, if somebody took a bribe from him, they're going to go to jail, and they deserve to go to jail. I hope they do, and it'll be fine. The bigger problem from a political standpoint isn't whether or not you took a bribe from Jack Abramoff or one of his guys. The bigger problem is that right now people don't understand this. There's a thing called the Freedom of Information Act. A news medium can write a letter to the Department of the Interior, for instance, and ask for, in essence, subpoena any letter that Congressman Rich Galen, if there were such a person, ever wrote to them, about a certain subject. And the department has to respond and kind of dig out the letter and send it back. Congress exempted themselves from that. You can't FOIA a congressman's office and FOIA, F-O-I-A, the Freedom of Information Act. You can't FOIA a congressman's office because they exempt themselves from that law. But what every news medium in this country is doing right now is they are going through the FEC reports, which are available online, and looking for $5,000 donations, which is the maximum a PAC can give to a federal candidate. And then they're going to you can't ask Rich Galen's office to send you the letters, but you can ask the Department of Interior for any correspondence they've had with Rich Galen, and they got to provide it. And what'll happen is that, forget about the legal parts, what happens is that the Columbus Dispatch will say that on January 15th, Rich Galen got a $5,000 donation from the National Association of Foresters, and lo and behold, 2 days later, he wrote a letter to the Department of the Interior asking to allow roads to be built through the National Forest in southeastern Ohio.
So you don't just follow the money, you follow the money and then the letter that's written after the money.
That's right, and then I have to go home and explain that's not bribery.
Right, or the phone call that was made, or the submission into the congressional record or whatever it might be. We come back, we're going to find out, where's this going to go, and is it going to be worse for one party or the other one? It's Intel. We'll be right back with Rich Galen. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Rich Galen, and he's helping us try to make some sense out of the fairly new developments in terms of Jack Abramoff, the Uber lobbyist. And, that's the first time I've ever used Uber in my life. I think I swore I never would use it, but it seems to fit him, Rich. And
it's so hard to say an umlaut.
But here's acrimonious. It's hard to imagine worse than it is, but you're saying it actually is going to get worse this year.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be a lot worse. And if you think back to the House banking scandal, this, for the most part, nothing illegal happened. But just to review the bidding quickly, what happened was it turned out that members of the House of Representatives were using the House bank, which is like their personal bank. But they're using it like their personal piggy bank, which is to say the House bank automatically covered bounced checks.
They were bouncing checks all over.
And they were bouncing some bounced a dozen, some bounced hundreds of checks. And nothing, and nobody was ever charged with anything. I mean, they straightened it out. You can't do it anymore. But members on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, lost their seats because it demonstrated to the people back home that these guys thought that they lived under different rules, where you and I have to sit around and fret to make sure that we have enough money in the right accounts so when payroll comes around, you know, nobody's check bounces. They had, you know, special privileges, and it's the special privilege part that upsets constituents more than anything. Mm-hmm. And the notion of a member of Congress either reaching out to a lobbyist and, in essence, demanding a contribution to his or her account, re-election account, or lobbyists offering money in return for, you know, language in the congressional record, or sometimes a semicolon in a tax bill is all you need. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of insider special dealing that people sort of think goes on here all the time, and when they see proof of it, they react very violently, which is to say they throw the guy out. And
Mr. Abramoff was an equal opportunity briber.
Yeah, not quite equal opportunity because Republicans are in charge, but he's a Republican, you know, way back from his college Republican days. But there's plenty of money sloshing around in Democratic accounts. And interestingly, the Republicans think that they need to donate. For instance, the Bush campaign found $6,000. Out of $300 million, they found $6,000 that came from Abramoff, and they donated it to charity. The Democrats, for the most part, have said, nah, we're keeping it.
Let me make a prediction.
Yeah.
This is going to wind up in at least two different camps, and you tell me maybe if there are three. Number one are the members of Congress who will have to resign over what will come to light, and two, the members of Congress who will be likely to lose their seats over their connectivity to this guy. What's your prediction?
Oh, I think it'll be in the dozens.
Which category?
You can put them together. I mean, some will resign because they just don't want to go through it.
How many people will have to resign because they're so connected?
Well, I would say probably 12, 15, and then another 12 or 15 in the House, yeah.
Just in the House. This is not going to affect the Senate.
Well, it does, but it's harder to tell because, I mean, there's only a third of the Senate that's up in the first place. So if you're a senator and you're swept up in this thing and not really accused of a crime, the theory is that by the time it comes around to your election cycle, people will have forgotten.
Will any senators have to resign?
Oh boy, that's a great question. I got to go back and see who's up this year. I don't know the answer. I can see two.
So you can see two senators maybe resigning. How many congressmen or women will resign? You think?
As I said, probably between 12 and 15, and then that number again may be defeated at the November.
So maybe as many as 30.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Seats.
Dozens.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a huge deal.
Will anybody go to jail?
Oh, yeah. Well, Bob Ney, I think, will go to jail, probably. We know that Duke Cunningham's going to jail already.
Yeah, he's already
and
that.
You know, so this stuff all gets wrapped up in the public's mm-hmm. mind, and even things that otherwise would have looked innocent begin to look really ugly.
Yeah.
You know, when we were kids, Jim, we had a thing called My Weekly Reader, and you remember?
Yeah.
One of the things was they used to have a very, very tight close-up of some regular object that just looked horrible when it was taken, you know, at very close range. And I remember one looked like a horrible monster. Mm-hmm. And the next week we found out it was a fabric from somebody's carpet.
Right.
And that's what happens in these things. You get so close up to it that even things that are as benign as your living room carpet look horrible. And when it comes to American politics or any politics, the other side will exploit that. But both sides will.
And ain't that pretty up close either. I tell you, Rich, thank you for being here. Thank you for helping us sort this out. We look forward to tracking it all year long. Thank you. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen. That's Mullings.com. I hope you check it out. It's a good column. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And I'll see you on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.